This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort. Episode 35, it's the Inferno Podcast. Welcome in. And the Inferno Podcast is always brought to us by our friends at Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. I'm your host, Landrum Roberts. Hope everyone had a wonderful Easter. We're talking spring football. We got the spring showcase coming up Saturday. Legacy Pavilion, 10 a.m. the start. We're going to have bouncy houses, interaction with the team and coaches. You're going to see a lot of fun. We'll also have a scrimmage that begins promptly around 11 o'clock. You want to check that out. Coach Trent Dilfer is going to be joining us and newly named associate head coach and current director of strength and performance, Coach Lyle Henley, also joining us on the show. And on the offensive side of the ball, the UAB running back room, it has not been devoid of talent over the years, and they added through the portal a kid from the state of Alabama, but most recently from another school. And coming in, you're going to meet him, Javon Jackson. You want to stick around for that and so much more. It's the Inferno Podcast, episode 35. So glad you're with us. Let's get rolling.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
The Inferno Podcast, Blazer fans, we've made it really, really easy for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can consume this podcast each and every week, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. But you're going to appreciate it because we're going to keep you up to date on everything going on within the athletics program, the green and gold. YouTube, it's pretty simple. At Inferno Podcast UAB, like, subscribe, ring the bell, tell your family about it, your friends, your neighbors, spread it around the office. This thing is going to catch fire, literally. Appreciate you joining us there on YouTube. But also Instagram, you can find us Inferno_pod on Twitter, or the X if you prefer, at Inferno_pod_UAB. On Facebook, that's kind of the OG, right? UAB Athletics, you can find it there on Facebook. And, of course, you can go to UABSports.com. We've got links, we've got all different ways. There is no excuse for you to miss the Inferno Podcast each and every week.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank, embrace the if in life.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. This is the Coach's Corner, and I am flanked by two coaches. One is a head coach. One is a newly named associate head coach. And our Coach's Corner is brought to you by our friends at Pepsi and Viva Health. Coach Trent Dilfer, UAB head football coach. Coach, how are you?
I'm great.
You look great.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. And then to my left, he is director of strength and performance, now associate head coach, and a guy that many UAB fans are certainly familiar with. Not only the hairstyle, the build, but the presence and all that he's done for the green and gold, Lyle Henley. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. I just want to start, and I speak my heart on this show. I feel like I'm getting older. I got a lot more gray. Coach, I don't know how you feel, but you look like you've gotten younger. What's the deal? What's the secret?
Really no secret, try to take care of yourself, do everything in moderation. That's about it.
We're going to talk a lot. This is going to be some self-help for me today because I feel like we have that guy, but you add a title, and well-deserved, by the way, you add the title of associate head coach to Coach Henley, you would think that he would start feeling the stress that a head coach feels.
I want him to start feeling a little more of this stress.
Can you shoulder some of this?
Can we share some of this, please, Lyle?
Absolutely.
No, it's been a long time coming for Lyle. He has been a huge part of the success of this program. He does all the things that, you know, an associate, you know, assistant head coach would do. He's actually with the players more than I am as the head coach. I saw this, Hugh Freeze did this up at Liberty, and I said, that's really smart, you know, so I've been looking for a way to do this here. I already feel like it's really benefited the program. Players respond really well to Lyle. I think even the staff, you know, I think the staff needs somebody in charge when the head coach is gone with recruiting or fundraising, whatever it may be. He's got a command of both player and coach, which is really important. And just honoring him too for the years of service. You know, you go back, and I've been telling people I'm doing everything we can to bring this thing back to glory. And when it was at its finest, you know, Bill would tell you this too. Lyle was a huge part of it. So we feel like we have the best strength and conditioning team in America, and I feel like we strengthened the staff by elevating Lyle's role.
No doubt, Coach. And prior to coming to UAB, you played college football at Louisiana Tech. You were a tight end, and you also played on the defensive side, linebacker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Linebacker, yeah. Went in as a safety, actually.
And, what?
Yeah. Ate myself up to a three-point stance, and, you know, the rest is history. So, yeah, but I was fortunate to be able to play under some really good coaches there in that college era. And, you know, transitioned to started playing a little bit on offense. Brought in Gary Croton was a guy that kind of brought that new style of offense in. And if you could run, he wanted you on offense. So started playing a little tight end and needed some help with short yardage on defense. So it's just kind of whatever they needed me.
You went into private business, and I was reading through your bio. I did not realize, and it's not just guys from UAB through the program that have signed NFL deals, but the athletes you work with. You were in private business. You had a training facility.
Yes.
And 100 guys that signed NFL contracts, mm-hmm. 23 and counting of first-rounders,
yes.
Which is amazing. But did you ever have any idea when you were at La Tech there in Ruston that coaching and this was going to be your path?
No, I did not. Well, I knew that I wanted to get – I was actually in pre-law when I went there and somehow got into strength conditioning. I got a good relationship with my strength coach and knew that was something I wanted to move into. So I definitely had a passion for wanting to do that. I had no idea that I'd ever go into the private sector, right? And speaking of all those guys and those, I just hit the right place at the right time. I had no idea the Gulf Coast was that loaded. My wife was from down there, and being an athlete herself, you know, she would always tell me about all the talent down there. And once we got down there and started looking at trying to open up a business and see what was available, you talk about being kind of like you would think California gold rush at the right time. We hit that and, just had a lot of success with just the talent that was down there.
2016, program comes back. You were at UAB. You worked under Coach Bill Clark, also Bryant Vincent, and then even extensively when he was there at Spanish Fort.
Yes.
Walk us through that and deciding that you were going to take the job at UAB and you're going to be heading up as their director of strength and performance.
Well, you know, actually what happened was I was very happy with what we were doing down there. We had a very successful business. I just sold my business to D1 Sports Training and was working for them nationally and had a really, really good gig. But David, when they let the program go, David Reeves came down and was for like 3 months. He was the defensive coordinator at Spanish Fort. So we got to talking about things and he was saying, hey, I think they're going to bring the program back. And I don't think that the strength coach who was there before is going to come back. You know, I think he's at Southern Miss and he's doing a really good job there. And so he's like, you know, kind of put that bug in my ear. And I started having talks with Bill and he asked me, would I be interested in coming? And, you know, I'd never planned on getting back into college strength conditioning. So after a lot of long talks with my wife and my family, we decided something we wanted to do. And as soon as we finished that last combine class up in March of 2015, I came up and joined the program.
So that regime, Coach Clark and then Bryant Vincent, Coach Dilfer, you're hired. How much of a no-brainer was it Because a lot of times you'll have coaches and they clear out everybody in the building. But you retain Coach Henley. I think that says a lot for you, Coach. But what immediately jumped out to you?
Well, it was interesting, and Lyle will tell you this, anytime a new coach gets one of these jobs like I got at UAB, it's amazing the amount of people that reach out to you, especially in their profession, because there's only so many of them, and they want to attach themselves to a head coach they can see being in the business for a long time. And there were some really good ones on the street that year, guys from big-time programs that Lyle knows that he would tell you are really good strength and conditioning coaches. So I was being inundated by information. But Coach Vincent, Coach Clark, you know, were very adamant, like, we have the best. He should be the first person you talk to. So I remember our first meeting. I said, okay, I'm gonna call four or five guys. But I called Lyle first. I said, come on up here. So he comes up. I'm like, I'm going to give you the answers to the test, right? Like, if you can't get these right, like, then we have a problem. But I'm pretty sure you're going to get these right. So I knew I wanted to hire Lyle if he wanted to stay. But I think we need to get to know each other too. I mean, sure. I think there's this hard thing in college athletics where you may want the job, but you may not want to work for the person. And I want to make sure he was comfortable with me, that this was a good fit, that we were aligned. And it didn't take long to figure out that we were. It was not a hard decision. And we feel like it was, you know, we haven't done a lot of good things the last 2 years, but that's one of the best things we've done.
Coach, I know you had other opportunities to go other places. Why did you decide to stay here in Birmingham and stay there in the building with Coach Dilfer?
Well, you know, I felt like a personal connection, number one, to the program after bringing it, you know, back from the ground up. So, you know, you feel like you've kind of built it, you know, and it's kind of your baby, right? That being one. Two is, I knew that, you know, I'd worked for two high character guys in Bill Clark and Brian Benson. And so I'd always heard good things about Trent, and, you know, just his reputation preceded itself. And so I did want to get to know him. And as soon as I got to know him and the staff members that he was bringing in, I saw that they were high character individuals as well. And his vision for the program and where he wanted to eventually get to, I bought into that. And it is side by side parallel for what we want to do in my family and the things they believe in. So it was a no-brainer for me after talking and spending some time with Coach Dilfer. And, you know, we're continuing to try and get this thing going on the right path.
When he called you in the office, and you don't have to go through all the details of how the conversation came about, but the promotion and an added title mm-hmm. to what you were already doing, mm-hmm. what was your immediate reaction? Is that something that you had kind of envisioned?
Yeah, we had talked about it, like he'd previously stated, 2 years ago. And, it's something that had always been on the back of my mind, and knew it was a possibility. You just don't know if these things are going to happen or not. You know, sometimes it's out of either anyone's control. And once that was made available, you know, I was absolutely flattered and, very proud and a lot of pride. And I think anybody in this profession takes huge pride in what they do because it is so demanding. And so to have that, validation, it's a good feeling.
Something that you mentioned in talking with, whether it's other notable strength and conditioning coaches that have served in programs here and then gone other places, and one in particular is back in our state as a head coach at a program at a lower level. But it's the amount of one-on-one that they have with these players, and it really makes sense that they are getting the quality time. And a lot of times when these guys, they have issues, not that they can't, but they're a lot of times going to go to the guy that they're most comfortable with. And that's not an indictment on you or any other coach, but they spend those moments with coaches like Coach Henley and at hours at length. And how important is that to have that guy?
I think it's massive, and I'll do one more. I'll even go one step further, and this is when I really started thinking about after watching the first time I saw it at Liberty with Hugh and his assistant head coach, who was a strength coach, was that the strongest bonds are forged through doing hard things together, right? So if you go climb a giant mountain with your buddy, you're going to be closer with that buddy when it's all said and done, because you're going to go through these really hard, trying times. And I started thinking, I'm like, what's the hardest thing that these student athletes do? The hardest thing they do is train. I mean, it's brutal, especially if you're doing it right. Well, who are they doing it with? you know, Coach Lyle and his group. So they're creating a bond. There's a trust there that I don't think you can replicate as a head coach or a coordinator or a position coach even. I think it's deeper than that. And that's really what I was like, that, you know, this is not just a good thing to do. This is the best thing to do. You know, you're constantly juggling between good and best. And this is the best thing to do. And we've seen it pay off, you know. And the great thing about Lyle, too, is, you know, he can have a hard edge with these guys. He's a truth teller. He tells them a lot of stuff they don't necessarily want to hear. But they receive it well because they trust him and they trust his staff. And I think that creates credibility for us as well upstairs. You know, in our building, they're downstairs and we're upstairs. But I think it helps upstairs, too, because now they look at their position coaches and their coordinators and the head coach and like, well, these people know what they're doing. Because, you know, they've empowered the group that we're grinding the hardest with. So it's been a fantastic formula for us so far this year, and I see it only getting better.
When you go stereotypes, he looks like a strength and conditioning coach, yeah. And looking the part has got to play something into it. Part. Not that they're not people with my build that couldn't do it, but the players are looking at him, and they're going, yeah, this guy, he does it, and he's done it.
Agreed. There's another piece of this. I don't know how many people know. Like, first of all, everything we've said is why he is assistant head coach. But there was a cherry on top to this. Last year, who were we playing, Lyle? Where we wore the same shirt to the game?
It's Arkansas.
So we're playing Arkansas. Oh, it's hot. And Lyle and I wore the same sideline outfit. And the TV captures head coach Trent Dilfer on the sideline just looking yoked. And it's Lyle. Oh, of course, I had it screenshotted, saved, cropped, blown up, and I own that picture. Like, that is who I want America to think I am. So now we talk to the production team every week, and I'm like, make sure you see Lyle on the sideline and put head coach Trent Dilfer.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, yes. Why wouldn't I?
Right. No.
Right?
Without hair, being disparaging, there's a lot there.
Shoulders.
Do you feel a lot of pressure to live up to?
Oh, yeah. He can't get chunky. Oh, yeah. I told him that. Like, I can get soft. He can't get soft.
Because there's got to be days when you're like, look, I'm getting up there in years. I don't want to do this.
No, he can't do that.
You can't do that, can you?
It's in the contract.
Yeah. What about the mohawk?
You know, I shaved it last year.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. It's very weird.
It was weird. This company started as soon as I walked in the building, and I used to have my head shaved for 17 years, and I actually grew this out in 2019 in that season. But as soon as I walked in and shaved it, everybody thought it was Trent. You know, the coaches would come around the corner, hey, coach, hey, you know, looking at me funny, and so. I was like, you know, I got to grow the hair back. I've got to.
It looks good. Back to a more serious note,
yep.
you become kind of a counselor to some of these players, right?
Yeah, you spend a lot of time with them, you know, and like Coach said, when you do form a bond when you go through something hard. I think in anything in life, and, you know, it's huge in the military sector. It's very prevalent in our profession. I think if you go to any program that across America, I would think most people have a very good relationship with their strength coach, especially the guys who are kind of the heart and soul of the team. And so, you do counsel with them because a lot of times these kids are feeling so much pressure with social media and the way things are now. And you kind of like you bring them to the side and say, hey, you know, what's really going on? You don't have to put on that front. You don't have to be who this guy you post every single day. Everybody thinks you are. What's going on? And you get a lot of, you know, a lot of honesty from the kids. And that's how you solve problems, right? So, yeah, it's definitely one of the definitely big perks of the job.
And there's got to be a lot of pressure, too, because not only you're going to be number one, that the head coach of any program where people want to point and cast blame. Mm-hmm. But he's got to be right there near the top if somebody breaks off a run in the fourth quarter and somebody unfortunately has their hands on their hips. Is that strength or is that fourth quarter program?
Yes.
Right? There's a lot of pressure on the strength and conditioning, coach.
A lot of pressure. Yeah. A lot of pressure. I'll tell you, I'll give you one more, too. I'll tell you where Lyle's been massive is in the hiring process. You know, just as we've gone through and redid the staff this offseason, Lyle sat in every single interview. Yes. And it was time exhaustive, but sat in every interview and really, you know, leaned on him for counsel on making sure I was hearing the right things, seeing the right things, going down the right direction. And I think that collaboration has really helped making sure this staff is more aligned than the last 2 years. So That's been a huge part of this. And really, we're just getting ready to get into his sweet spot. You know, I mean, middle of May until the end of July, the coaches don't spend a lot of time with the players. It's really their time where most of the team building that will go on, most of the brotherhood building, obviously the strength and conditioning, the movement skills, team-led workouts, you know, that's really all under their kind of umbrella. So I think we're only going to be better than we are right now.
If I ask you, you're going to train a team. Mm-hmm. You don't have a workout facility. We can give you one thing. It can be an object. One thing that everybody has to use. And that's the only thing anybody's going to have at their disposal to use. Would it be a big monster truck tire? Would it be a long rope?
I have a guess. I don't know if I'm right, but I have a guess.
I got so many questions for you, Coach.
It's really a close between a resistance band and a barbell. You know what I mean? If a resistance band and a barbell, you could do a ton of things. But if I had to say, you have to get this team ready to play, you know what I mean? You would first of all, they got to be able to move. They've got to be able to run, and they've got to be in condition to be able to do those things, right? And so, you know, if I didn't have anything else, and you went out to field, if we had a resistance band, I'm pretty sure that, you know, any strength conditioning coach could come up with some type of, you know, plan or series of things to get them ready to practice. Because that's what this all is in the summer. You've got them strong. They're going to continue to get stronger. You've got them fast. They're going to get a little bit faster. But now you've got to get them ready to practice, right? And they've got to be able to practice to be able to play the game. So if I'm preparing them in the heat of the summer to get ready for practice, I'm taking them outside and getting them acclimated. And you could do a lot if it was just one thing, it would be, to me, you could do a ton of things, speed and strength and power-wise, with a resistance band.
Is there one particular week or a period of time, like a hell week, that guys just dread under your tutelage?
I don't think there's a week. I think there's a day.
A day.
And that day is always Friday.
Yeah.
It's always Friday.
That's your Friday fun day?
It's time to pay the piper.
Do you get up early? Do you like Matt Campbell a bunch of espresso and get in there?
You know, I think, to give him a shout out, I think my assistant Jake Venables drinks enough monsters for the whole staff.
The whole team.
The whole team probably in one day. So, you know, I'll have some caffeine, but we feed off of his energy, right? Yeah. And his maniacal consumption of caffeine and monster drinks. But, yeah.
I keep seeing these feeds, and they'll come across your phone, and you guys have seen them. I don't know. But this one in particular keeps coming back to me. And it's this guy, maybe you've seen it, and I don't want to promote whatever website. I haven't done the QR code. But it's a guy. He's in really good shape, but he's probably in his 60s. And he's just cut up. He's ripped. And then he's got this other guy. This is probably like a me that they're using for this, and he's just – a guy that's probably, you know, mid-40s, early 50s, but maybe his best days are behind him. But they're doing a chair workout. So it's just a chair. You're already laughing. It's just the chair, and the guy's using, first of all, I would probably flip the chair over, but the guy's doing this work. He's sitting in the chair. He's doing these right here, doing some tricep work where you turn around to the chair. I would do it here, but I probably it probably would end bad. That kind of stuff. Does it work?
You know,
I'm trying to get a free consultation right now.
Yes.
I see where you're going. Yeah. You're getting a free workup here.
Yeah. I want
cheat codes.
Right. Right. I think that the genius of selling those things on social media is to have everybody see, be like, you know, I think I could do that. And then if I could do that, maybe I can look like that.
But then I'll pay for it.
Yeah, and then I'll pay whatever it costs, right?
But this grandpa, by the way, that they're showing, he's got to be juicy. I'm going to throw that out there. He's got to.
He's probably 20, and he's made himself look up to be 60 years old, right? But, you know, you've got to have a baseline. You've got to have good habits, right? You've got to have the discipline and all these things to be able to even get to that point to have a – use a chair to get a six pack. So they're probably outliers, those guys. I would say all of them are, which they – they're on the outside of what a normal genetic human being would be, and they use those for the example. But you know, 99 out of 100 people are not going to be able to achieve results just doing that.
Is your training regimen? I know some things are team oriented, but is it player position group specific in different things that you're having them work on?
It depends what time of year it is. This summer it gets really position specific. For the last these next 5 weeks coming up, it's profiled specific to what the individual doesn't do well. And I would say the past 12 weeks leading up to these 5 weeks has been based on, you know, just getting you back to the best version of yourself and then building strength levels on top of that. And so yeah, it's more of a basic group that we find out what the individuals don't do well, and it's about a 5 week individualized personal program, and then it gets into position and football specific in the summer, and then boom, you're rolling in the fall camp.
If I want more velo, I'm a long snapper.
Right.
What are you doing?
Well, we see what's wrong. You know, if we have three snappers on our roster, then there's probably three different problems right there. So we see exactly what they need. You know, some guys, it might be rate of force development. It might be contact time. Some might be a mobility issue. Most of the guys have been training now at this point to do that their whole life. So the skill is not really the problem, right? They've got the skill down. It's like a kid that's been pitching his whole life and shows up to college to pitch. He knows how to pitch. But what are the weak points that he's missed in the physical development leading up to that? So that's what you're looking for. Something specific is snapping.
Does he have to stay away from the kickers? I know coaches, y'all are weird about kickers.
I'm not weird about kickers.
Well, you're not weird. Some coaches are.
No.
Yes, I'm grouping you with all the other coaches.
The team is better off the more Lyle talks. Because he talks me off the ledge a lot of times. There's been at least 4 to 6 times this offseason where I've had an idea and I'm pretty set on doing it. And he very tactically goes, hey, let's talk about that. Let me give you some insight.
But
and then I change.
Get off the bus standpoint. Looks really good in the travel party, number
yes.
one. Number two. If any, you know what happens, if heaven forbid, if it just all, if something got out of control, I'm finding our state troopers and I'm finding him.
Yep.
That's going to
be
my shield.
I write that
shield.
On the call sheet. If something goes bat, you know what, crazy, yeah. You find Lyle.
Foul.
And Jake.
Yeah. And you're that guy.
That's funny.
You get pretty intense there on the sideline.
Well, you know, this is what we would tell our players. They'll come in here and they'll see our whole staff in there training maniacally. And they're like, what are you guys training for? And we always say, we don't know what it is. We hope it never happens. But if it does, we'll be ready. So you've got to be ready. I mean, if you're going to be in that, you know, in that world, in that realm, you know, it's an alpha world, you know, just being in the weight room and being out there on the field and in these games. And so you've got to be at least by minimum be able to hold your own, right?
I'll get some video before the summer is over because they're about to start. I kind of know the routine. We're going to get here in May, and the four of them are going to do their morning MMA workouts, and I'm doing my Jane Fondas over there between the hashes.
I'd be with you.
Yep. And I'll take some video and bring it in for the podcast.
Please do.
They're beating up bags or kicking things. They're snot's coming out of their nose. Like it's.
Where are you getting, not only from your personal experience, but where are you getting some of these things, these ideas and maybe things you can implement in special forces, other strength and conditioning programs?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I've got
the guy in the chair.
Right, not the guy in the chair. I've got an unbelievable staff. They're very in tune of what's going on. I think there's been more strides in strength conditioning in the last 5 years than the previous 50. There's still a lot of old school ideas that hold true. But as far as like training, I've got guys on our staff that trained at the UFC Performance Institute. I've got one guy is former military, was 2 tours in Iraq. I've got one guy on our staff that's, you know, played SEC ball and been all over. And, you know, we had an MMA gym when I was in the private sector and just training all those guys. And you always, when you have an MMA gym, you always run across special forces guys. And so I've been lucky to spend some time with those guys. But I mean, the information is out there. You just have to reach out and grab it, right? You just got to, and you got to know where to look, and you got to know what's real and not. And that's just like the guy in the chair. It's, there's things that are going to lead you down a wrong path of like, man, that sounds like a good idea, but probably not. So it's the internet is one of the best things ever invented. It's also one of the most dangerous things, right?
Yes, especially for people like me. You have a lot of players and a lot of turnover in your roster.
Yep.
He deals with it. You have to deal with it as well. How much have you changed for this specific Blazer team that fans are going to be able to see during the spring showcase, meet some of them, but get to know during the 2025 season? How much different is it from past seasons?
It's totally different. I'd say, you know, that just because of the portal and the roster turnover, you have to change the way that you train, right? And we have to be better at it because we don't have as much time. We were always prided ourselves on being a 4 to 5 year developmental program. You can throw that out the window. You've got 1 to 2. And as a player, when you come in, you've either got to be, you know, to a certain level and where we can develop the things that you need, or like, you know, it's that the window's going to close really fast. And that's just the nature of the beast, right? And so, like, these guys have had to do something a little bit more intense early on to kind of see what we have. We need to know who we have now and not wait until August to figure that out, because it's too late, because there's just too much turnover. So, yeah, I would think this year, you know, so we've had unbelievable teams in the past and had all these things, but I think this year you're going to see more of an edge and a, you know, a more mature team, I would think, both mentally and physically.
Have you ever had a guy that came out of the program and you looked at him and you went just kind of to yourself, you know, I don't even know if I need to mess with him?
There are some guys.
Just those physical specimens that God put here, and they have veins running where they shouldn't be running.
You love those guys, right?
Right.
They make our job really easy. And, yes, that's what we call outliers. You know, we talked about it earlier, is you have these outliers that come in, and there's not a lot. All you can really do is screw them up, right? You can do a few. You try to find what – there's usually one or two things that don't do well, right?
Do you ever come over the headset – and maybe it's a down and distance, you get in the headset to TD and you're like, look, we got this. Let's run behind this guy.
Never.
No. I think I knew the answer to that.
May need more of it.
Just, you know, throwing some things out there, right? Coach Lyle Henley joining us. Coach Trent Dilford talked about the spring showcase. We need to highlight that, though, because coming up on Saturday, that would be April the 26th, 10 a.m., Legacy Pavilion. Then roughly around 11 o'clock, we get a scrimmage, but there's a lot of great stuff for the fans. For folks who have not been there and visited before, what can they expect?
Yeah, it's cool. We'll have some bounce houses for the kids, food trucks. But I think the coolest part is like the fan can be right there on the sideline. Like, you can hear everything the coaches are telling the players, what the players are saying. We're going to keep it up tempo. Do a lot of different types of team activities. We'll have 7-on-7s. We'll have some red zone periods. We'll have some third down periods. We'll move the ball. We'll rotate. Everybody will get to play. So it'll be pretty fast paced and fun to be out there and kind of get a flavor for this year's Blazers team.
Tug of war,
possibly.
Possibly a tug of war.
That's not a terrible idea, actually. Yeah.
Is there something else that
you have to show up?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
We were going to do a fun game where it was a graphic, and it was going to be well-known athletes, and it was just going to be a game called Yes or No, where I ask you yes or no, and you can probably figure out what the question would be.
No.
Can you tell that immediately?
Not immediately.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I was just talking about how guys got to where they are.
Oh, gotcha.
Did they have help or?
Gotcha.
From other things.
I played in the 90s, so most of it was yes.
Well, that yeah, surprisingly so, right?
Yeah.
Not you, though.
Not me.
Mm-mm.
I was one of those outliers. All you could do is screw it up.
Mm-hmm. What is the goal for this season, Coach, from you?
You talking about record wise?
Sure, let's go.
Let's put a number on it.
The goal is always champs, always, no matter what. It's, you know, we're not bashful about that. We never are. You know, everybody's, we need to sit. No, our goal is to win every single game. That's what it is. Conference champs, go bowl game, go to the college playoff. You know, that is our goal. We don't. It's never anything less than that.
What's the best fat burning food that I can consume?
Well, you know, coconut oil.
Coconut oil.
Yes.
Just slug it?
You can scoop it and you can eat it. You can cook
Put it in your coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. What about olive oil? A shot of olive oil? No, okay. Coconut oil. Well, continuing to ask questions.
Yeah.
Coach Lyle Henley, thank you.
Thank you.
Coach Dilfer, thank you.
You're welcome.
So much. The Inferno Podcast continues. Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Lantern Roberts once again joined by head coach Trent Dilfer. And coach, the running back position, if you want to think back at least the past decade, and you can go beyond that, but the running back position, well, UAB has been really, really blessed with a lot of talented running backs.
Really has. Really good backs have come out of here. Henley Brigham, who was the running back coach here forever, did a great job recruiting, coaching, developing. Henley's moved on, and Danny Mitchell's moved into that seat, and I don't think we've gone backwards at all. Danny did a great job of evaluating this offseason in the portal, and the one you're about to talk to, we felt like was clearly the guy for us, and has proven already in a short amount of time that he's even better than we expected.
And you're talking about this guy, Javon Jackson. You're an Alabamian. You grew up in North Alabama. You played your high school ball at Austin High School, all state. But out of high school, you decided to leave and to head to Austin Peay, where you played three seasons, and then this past year at UTEP. Talk about that ride, first of all, Austin Peay, and obviously being there for three seasons and having success. You were very comfortable.
Yes, sir. I mean, just going from high school to Austin Peay, of course, it was just the relationship to get me out there in Clarksville, Tennessee. And once I got there in Clarksville, Tennessee, I had to, you know what I'm saying, understand the game and just sit behind some vets because I got a chance to use my red shirt year first. So once I got out there, I learned the game of football and so once I got in the game, I just took off from there. I got comfortable.
you go and you follow your coach to UTEP, El Paso. I've never been to El Paso. But what was that like? Was that the first time that you had been to El Paso, Texas?
Yes, sir, it was. I mean, it was definitely different, you know, from Decatur, Alabama, like you said. So, I mean, just the scenery, just the culture-wise, everything, that it was almost like a shock to me once I got out there. But, I mean, just like everywhere else, it gave me time to adapt and adjust to it. So once I was out there, man, I was enjoying it.
When you're going through the transfer portal process, how did that play out? I want to get your perspective, and then I'll get coaches.
Okay, so, I mean, going through the transfer portal process, I mean, you want to look for what was going to fill me whole as a player. And I felt like this coaching staff, they needed everything that I was given and likewise, I mean, I needed everything that they was giving out to, just with the pro experience and stuff like that. Like, that's my end goal. And being coached by a lot of guys that's been in that sector and been, like, highly, I guess you could say, that guy over there has a couple of accolades of his own. So,
did you know, and I ask everybody who comes on here, did you know about Trent Dilfer, the Super Bowl quarterback, prior to coming to UAB?
Yes, sir, I did. I knew about the Dilfer Dimes. The Dilfer Dimes on Sports
ESPN,
Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember cutting on the TV and watching a couple of those plays.
Coach, you saw this guy, the coaching staff, y'all are evaluating.
Yeah, we had a bunch of backs on the board, and I went in one day to watch, I don't know, I was going to watch 10-15, and I got done with Javon's. I was like, I don't need to watch anymore. He fits us. That's what we want. And,
what fits for our fans?
I'm a big three-tool back guy. So, you know, there's some great runners out there, but they won't pass protect and they can't catch. They limit what you can do, right? There's some guys that can catch, but they're not strong enough to help in the blocking game. We ask our running backs, we call them our R in our offense, to play professional football. Our protection schemes, our professional football protection schemes, our run schemes, our pro football run schemes. We utilize them as receivers, so they have to have natural ball skills. You can pretty much get through most of the portal guys pretty quick because you're like, well, he can't do one of the three, so it doesn't fit us. I'm not saying they're not good players. They just don't fit you and what you want to do. So we targeted him early. We felt like he had great value, and I think the recruiting process was pretty easy from there on out. We met them and they met us, and it was a really good match right off jump. Our expectations for one another were aligned, and We consummated the deal pretty quickly.
What about the offense, either from Coach Dilfer and or Coach Mortensen? What about the offense did you immediately said, yeah, that fits me?
Like you said, it was a pro-style offense. Like I said earlier, my goal is to go to the NFL. So just being able to go ahead and get a jump, really, and just learn pro-style and understand the offenses, understand defenses, understand the game of football. So just getting the knowledge right there and just understanding that this is what I needed to take my game to the next level, man. It fit perfect.
Is there a particular set that you like the most? You're the most comfortable? Can he get this away?
I was going to say, probably. Okay. I don't know. No comment, actually. Because, I mean, I really just like the game of football, man. So I just, you know what I'm saying, take in all the different information and just cage it in my brain.
Hypothetically, we send you on a wheel route. Is that easy?
The ball's caught.
That's the answer we're looking for, right?
He's really versatile. All our backs are. You know, I think Coach Mitchell's and Coach Brigham, I'll give him a lot of credit because he recruited two of them that are here, have done a great job of really understanding what we're looking for in a tailback. And, you know, we're disappointed on our production last year as an offense, but we're very aligned offensively what we're looking for. And J.J., hits all the markers. And he's just a great worker. He's a great teammate. Lau was bragging about him earlier today, about him in the weight room. And, we really worked hard on trying to bring a well-rounded person and player into the program. And J.J. is one of those. He's a poster child for what we're trying to do here.
It's always competition for snaps, no matter the position, but you in particular, how does that go with you and meeting your new teammates and the guys that you're going to be sharing that running back room with?
I mean, honestly, just coming in and just establishing who I am as a running back. I mean, as a player, as, like you said, as a teammate, as a, just anyone that needs to be, you know what I'm saying, for the team, man. I mean, I just take that pride and just going and just being me, and I feel like everything else will take care of itself.
You set goals for yourself? Every season?
I mean, of course I do.
Is it a numerical goal that you're looking for? I mean, you had, in just looking at your last year's stats at UTEP, 800 yards, very productive. You found the end zone. You're good out of the backfield. But is there a particular number in any particular category?
It'll probably come closer to the season. But right now I'm just trying to focus on being the best player that I can be. You know what I'm saying? Sharpening my tools and more tools on my tool belt.
Describe the offense and picking it up from other offenses that you've been in as far as your ability to grasp everything that they're asking you to do, play in, play out?
I mean, like I said earlier, it was a pro-style offense. So just coming in and understanding, like, what's being asked, what do I need to do, what's being asked for me to do. And once I learned and really understood what they was asking me to do, I mean, I just took it and ran with it. And it took a lot of studying and stuff like that, and I'm still learning today, but – you know what I'm saying? Just going and being the best that I can for it.
We talked to Coach Henley about strength and conditioning, and that's important no matter the position. How much different has that been with Coach Henley and his staff and doing some of the things that are vital to your success?
The weight room has been, like you said, vital. I mean, it's just, my pops told me that, like, whenever I take, you know what I'm saying, the weight room serious, then the rest of it to take care of itself, like I said earlier. And then I just go in there and put my head down, I work, and I mean, everything else take care of itself.
Is there one particular thing that Coach Henley and his staff ask you to do that you hate?
No comment.
See, we're getting smart kids.
You are getting smart kids. Yeah. You have a future running for office if when your football career.
You know, an interesting thing about the portal and running backs, and I think JJ and I talked about this on his trip, I think they all want to come in. They want 1,500 yards and 20 touchdowns. And
sure,
listen, that'd be awesome, right? But kids that want to play in the NFL also don't want their bodies beat up too much. You know, I think one thing that's attractive about our room is we have three good backs. And they know that now if they're hot, they're going to keep getting fed, as you saw last year, right? You're going to feed the back that's hot. But you also don't want to go through the course of the season and be a human crash dummy. Right, because that's taking years off your career. So we want quality reps. You know, if we're going to play, let's call it 80 plays on offense in a game, which would be a really good game offensively, I don't know if you want to play more than 45, right? So you want other guys in your room that when they go in and give you a spell, or if you're sharing carries or sharing third down responsibilities or whatever it is, you don't feel like the team dropped off at all. I think those are the running back rooms you find in football right now, the NFL and in college, that are the healthiest. The ones that are rooting for each other because they know you're also extending their career. I mean, look at what's happened in the NFL with running back contracts. Like, they'll give you the first one, but very few guys are getting the second one because they're wear and tear. Well, now if they go back through your college career and see, well, oh my gosh, he had
less mileage on the tires.
So, you know, if you're JJ and you want to play in the NFL, I don't know if you want 400 carries this year. I mean, that's not probably something you're shooting for. You want quality carries. You want production for sure. But you want to be explosive. You want to be at your best on those snaps you are playing. And you're hoping that the other guys in the room, you know, the three of you can carry the load together.
Was there a running back that you grew up watching that you tried to emulate your game after?
I wouldn't necessarily emulate my game. I just I like watching good football. So, I mean, I was watching Saquon Barkley when he was in college. I was watching DeAndre Swift when he was at Georgia. You know, those were just two guys that I had on my board. That
you got some Swift in you. He does. There's a similar style there. Okay, yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those were just two guys that I had, that I was watching a lot of film on.
When you got to the campus, you came through the football facility. You're from the state, so you're obviously familiar with UAB in the program, but what jumped out to you immediately?
I mean, it was shocking how nice it was. I actually, like, I haven't been around, like, Birmingham as much, being from Decatur. I mean, I come through, I drive around, and really go back. You know what I'm saying? I haven't necessarily stayed put. And so just being in Birmingham and just being around, like, who I was going to be around once I really got out here, I mean, it really took a toll on me. And I mean, it was almost like it was perfect.
How vital will he be for the offense this year?
It'll be a big piece of it, massive piece of it.
Are we still competing for numbers, by the way? Jersey numbers?
To a certain degree, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He'll be a huge part of it. We need to put a lot on our running backs in general. He's really elevated himself throughout the offseason. And Saturday, our last scrimmage, had two insane runs and really got us out of some jams. So, really good player, like I said, three-tool back, has exceeded expectations. We're super excited.
All right, we're super excited to have you, JJ. It's time for the lightning round. We do this. It's just a way to learn a little bit more about you. Coach Dilfer, sometimes he participates because we learn more about Coach Dilfer. We learned two or three episodes ago about Coach Dilfer wearing makeup at one time in his life.
Man, yeah. Makeup?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, you ain't tell us about that one, Coach.
I'll bring the picture.
We will get to the lightning round as we continue here on The Inferno. Welcome back to The Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts, continue to be joined by head coach Trent Dilfer, associate head coach and director of strength and performance and a lot of other stuff, intimidation factor, Coach Lyle Henley, and Javon Jackson, one of the newest additions to the UAB running back room and making his way originally from Decatur, Alabama, Austin High School, but most recently UTEP. This is what we call the lightning round, and coaches, is you have been a really good sport about this because a lot of head coaches would be more guarded with their personal information, but you've been a team player.
Well, I feel like I'm so beloved in Birmingham. Like, it's a joke. No, I want people to get to know. I have nothing to hide.
Yeah, there's a lot of love for you, Coach.
Thank you.
All right. Let's start the lightning round with the graphic and the clock and all of that good stuff. We will start off with you, Javon.
All right.
Favorite professional sports team?
I would have to say the Baltimore Ravens.
Such a smart kid.
Javon, are you saying that for coach's benefit?
He's just got probably six more carries a game right there.
Are you?
He's brilliant. I'm telling you, we're recruiting smarter players.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
More seems like, Trent, what do you want to run? I don't care. Just give JJ the ball.
Just give JJ the ball. Besides the Ravens, another sport.
Another sport. Ooh.
Do you like Major League Baseball?
I was about to say probably a baseball team, but I don't really watch them as much. But, I mean, I used to play baseball a little bit. So, I mean, I flip a channel every once in a while and see what's going on.
And if you had to pick a favorite Major League Baseball team, who would it be?
Probably the Atlanta Braves.
This is my guy. Give him a lot of carries. Whatever number he wants. I don't know if that's already been assigned. Coach Lyle Henley, professional sports team?
I'm going to go with the old Saints.
Saints.
Yeah. Gulf Coast, you got to go with the Saints.
All right, Coach, you have to go something other than...
Well, forever we were massive.
The 15 franchises you played.
Yeah, we were massive San Francisco Giants fans.
Okay.
All my daughters took them to World Series when we dominated there for a stretch. You know, we lived an hour from San Francisco, so got to know a lot of the people in the organization. Bruce Bochy became a dear friend, so huge, huge Giants fans. My daughter still, my oldest daughter will still watch a 9-inning game start to finish. For her, when she left to go to Notre Dame to play college volleyball, my present was the Major League Baseball package so she could watch all the games. I mean, she's maniacal with her baseball.
That's awesome.
Yeah, as a fan. And my wife is a Dodgers fan. So during baseball season, we don't include her in the family.
All due respect, I don't blame
you. It's only 162 games, so it's really not that long.
That's right.
We do okay without her.
All right. Okay.
That is a joke, obviously.
I think everybody knows.
She's been carrying me for a long time.
Pork or chicken?
That stuff.
Chicken.
You're going chicken.
I love ribs, but I got to go with chicken.
You going chicken?
Yeah. I'll go pork. I love pork.
They call it the other white meat.
I know. I cook a lot of it at home. I do a lot.
Like a center cut pork chop?
Yep.
Do that?
I'll do a
How do you do
pork
it?
Loin. I've done it a lot of different ways. I got the Rec Tech a few years ago, so I've gotten more into smoking. I'm not great at that. Getting there. We like some coaching up there. A little bit.
Some ribs, though, Coach.
I don't do ribs great. I don't have a great, not a great one. I do them okay. Like, nobody's going to complain.
Like, great technique? Or?
Just, I've never felt totally comfortable with our method.
What is the method? Is it like a...
It's a combination, you know, the slow roasting in the oven and then putting them on the grill to crust them up a little bit.
You got to go with the 2-2-1 method.
Okay. Well, let's see. That's, again.
2-2-1 method.
And the 2-2-1 method.
So you go, I'm a big green egg guy. All right. Okay. So I go, you go 2 hours, you know, dry rub on top, bone down. And then here's the key. Is you make your little full, like the baskets, right?
And that.
Then what you do is you go meat down, and under the meat, you go butter, a little bit of rub, a little honey, right?
I haven't done this.
And a little brown sugar.
Brown sugar. Yeah.
And stack them on top of each other. Let them cook for about, if it's baby backs, it's about 90 minutes. Yep. If you're going to go with the St. Louis, then it's 2 hours. And then you take them off, and you can use whatever barbecue sauce. But what I like to do is take that leftover residue and pour it over the top and let it crust.
That's it. And let it sit in its own juices.
Yes.
And you got to be wary. If people are going to put barbecue sauce on it, then a lot of times they're trying to cover something up.
Yeah.
Let the meat
speak
for itself.
For sure.
So this summer I'll be FaceTiming from vacation. Wow, what was that? What did I do? Come on, Coach.
Yeah, I can't lie, Coach. Sound like you know what you're doing over there.
Yeah, I can go down on the grill, baby.
No, he just...
I can grill with the best of them. I'll go up against anybody in the grilling, but it's this combination, new world, a pellet grill. I had the green egg, the other, you know, your Traegers, your regular
you
Weber's.
Electric smoker.
There's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There's smoker. A lot. Of, and now I got that. Now I'll go against anybody on the pizza oven. Like, that's become my baby. We've talked about that. I literally go to bed at night thinking about...
You have a pizza oven?
Oh, it's the best thing ever.
Is it like a custom-built pizza oven? Oh, okay.
Oh, if you don't have one, it's better than whatever car you're looking to buy. Go buy the Uni pizza. This thing's a life changer.
It sounds expensive.
I have one here that's wood, and then I got the gas one in the vacation home, and it's very two different experiences.
Sounds expensive, doesn't it? Yeah.
I use some of the NFL money for that.
Okay. All right. Do you cook anything?
What's your go-to? I do breakfast food, but breakfast food pretty easy. So, like, when I say that, people look at me like I'm just generic. But, I mean, like, I do a little something with the breakfast food.
Which brings me to my next question. Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Coach Henley?
Pancakes.
Pancakes?
Pancakes.
Yeah. Is there a carb that you don't want consumed by your players, or is it okay for certain players?
Well, you know, the timing is everything on that.
Okay.
Right? So post-workout, anything goes, right, as far as a carb. It can be a simple carb. But throughout the day, you want to cycle complex in there, complex carbs.
All right, total side note, and guys, just indulge. Paul Skeens, pitcher,
yes,
Pirates, played at LSU.
Right.
His pregame meal, day of game, is chicken Alfredo.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible. It sounds wonderful, but horrible to go and pitch, especially during the summer. Would you say that's probably not recommended?
You know, it's a little rich, the Alfredo. The pasta is not bad. Usually want the pasta the night before, the carb load the night before. But that's why it's so individualistic, because you got to see what sits on your body the best. I mean, you can throw rules out the window for certain people, especially like Paul Skeen, who's another one of those outliers we were talking about, right? So he probably gets away with a lot.
Get closer.
Think about Ocho Cinco and the candy. Yeah. And the McDonald's and those guys. Those guys get away with a lot. So it's hard to judge what you do off of a guy like that.
So brown rice, white rice, regular noodles. I like the chickpea.
Again, you're trying to get free consultation out of this podcast. You're going to get a bill.
White rice is actually better for brown rice. White rice is actually better.
Is better?
Yeah.
This is kind of new information, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. We have not talked about
this. The white rice is a cleaner carb than the brown rice.
This is very recent. Yes.
We've been lied to.
Yeah.
Who started this brown rice lie?
I don't know.
And we bought in. Our family bought in, and we've changed.
But the chickpea pasta, am I okay with that? Do we not know enough yet?
Chickpea, you're going to have to watch the soy, right?
Yeah.
So now you get a whole new level of carb.
That's bad if you're a dude.
Yeah. Don't want to be a soy boy.
No, I don't ever intentionally consume soy, just so you know. Okay. Favorite TV show?
Probably have to go Martin.
Martin?
That's good.
That is good. That's a throwback,
too.
Yeah,
that's really good. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about a second? You going to go old school on that one, too?
Second one, I really don't even know. Martin is just
Martin.
Yeah, just towering over
Gina.
Yeah.
Who did we do last week? Last week was girls volleyball. The week before that, Power. Right, you were you got familiar Power. With Power.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one too.
Yep.
What about you, Coach?
My number one would have to be Sopranos.
Do you know I was on the Sopranos?
Really?
Or my name was brought up in the Sopranos.
You were?
That's big time.
I get people text me all the time. The random Sopranos episode.
Was it about just you talking fixing about a game? You.
I've never seen it.
Okay.
But I've heard they have like a round table discussion. My name comes up. They're probably talking about the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl or something.
No. Yeah. No. What about when you were your playing days? Was it Sopranos back then?
Yeah. It was the mid to late 90s. So Sopranos. Yeah. The later one would be one of my favorite shows of all time is Better Call Saul.
That's very good.
I think it's as good as Breaking Bad was. I think it was a smarter version of Breaking Bad.
Very good.
All right, we're gonna stay on this end. I'm not stereotyping, but electric razor, battery powered razor, or just the good old manual,
the old school straight razor. Yeah,
you go straight razor.
Yeah, yeah. My wife actually does it.
Really?
Yep.
She does like the long, like.
Oh, no. Shirt. I'm not. No. Yeah. No.
This is a regular razor.
Yeah. Yeah. Regular razor.
What about for you?
I'm a regular razor. I have an electric razor if, like, Mark Ingram says, hey, you got to go speak at something, and I haven't shaved my head in a few days, so it's in the office, and I can kind of clean it up. I hate it. It takes forever. I can do my head, face, 6 minutes in the shower. It might take 15 with one of those electric things.
What about you?
I usually just go to the barbershop.
Just go to the barbershop, get it done.
Yeah.
Having going back to the Sopranos, it always made me a little bit nervous having somebody use this razor on me. Because that was one of those movies that was the end of that dude.
It's over for you.
Right, when he had that?
One of the reasons we got really good at Lipscomb is we had our own barbershop. And, you know, you can't recruit in high school football, but you can make your program look really attractive. And as kids came through and did their tours, we literally, it was about the size of this room. We had a barbershop, old 1940s chair. It was really cool. And we had a barber come in Thursday nights and cut everybody up. And I'd be the last one. And I'd go to sleep and he'd do the whole wet towel and do my neck with the straight razor and, you know, pull the skin. It was awesome.
But
we got to win here first before we can do that.
Why do bodybuilders shave their arms?
Shading, you know what I mean? Shading. As far as where the you know, you shave the certain parts, you get like a cleaner look.
Yeah.
So like the
show,
know,
more
being able
contour.
To show more contour and definition. That's basically why they do it. Same thing with the tan, the self tanning.
After my chair workout, I'm
definitely shave and tan. Yes.
Does not want the contours to show right now.
If you're not wearing sneakers or cleats, what are you wearing on your feet?
Slides. Sandals.
Slides.
Mm-hmm.
Or flip flops? Is that a no-no?
Yeah, I'm not rocking with the flip flops.
Mm-mm. Yeah, heard that one. What about you?
Boots, cowboy boots.
You're in cowboy boots.
Yeah.
You have a lot of different.
Probably, I'm a California guy, so flip flops.
Flip flops.
Yeah,
I like a pair of flip flops. I'm not going to wear them unless I'm at the pool or about to get in water. Or at the beach.
No, they're kind of when you grow up on the coast like I did, it's kind of you wear those more than tennis shoes. I'd go to, in high school, I bet you I wore flip-flops to school as much as I wore tennis shoes.
Truck or car? What would you rather drive?
Car.
Car? Yeah. Anything in particular? You have a dream car?
Okay, this is going to go against what I just said, but my dream car is a Lamborghini Urus. So it's like an SUV, you know?
Yeah. I just pulled behind one yesterday coming out of church. It was awesome.
Where did you go to church?
I know it was sick.
We were up in Nashville seeing the grandkids. It blew my mind, too. I'm like, dang, who are these people? That thing was awesome.
I can't. That would have been too easy. Too easy. What about you, Coach Henry?
No, I'm truck guy.
Truck guy,
truck.
Yeah. Yeah, got to roll with the truck.
That's right.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. We appreciate it. Sean, nice to meet you, man.
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you.
Here's to
Can
a
I
lot
come
of
up with the lightning round questions one of these times?
Yeah.
If I'm going to do 12 or 14 of these things, I should at least be able to write some of the content.
I think it's 16.
Is it 16?
I just added two.
I'm coming up with some of the content for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, some of these were not a.
It's not bad. I think we got to get a little edgier as we move into the football season.
You don't have to twist my arm.
Let's go.
You want to tightrope that line?
Let's go, baby. Let's toe that line.
Yeah, they can burn us both down.
Let's get Mark really uncomfortable.
Let's do it. Yeah. After hours with LR and TD.
Yeah.
Javon, best of luck to you, and hopefully we'll talk soon. We'll see you actually at the Spring Showcase. Coming up, Legacy Pavilion, UAB fans' first chance to see you in person, you and your teammates, as we're going to have a little scrimmage, but 10 a.m. at Legacy, and I know that you're excited about interacting and meeting a lot of the fans.
Yes, sir, I am.
Javon, thank you. Me. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Coaches, thank you.
Peace. Thanks, Landrum.
Thank you, Lyle. Appreciate you. Yeah, I feel like you set me up a little bit.
See
you. Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. In front of a podcast, we continue.
As UAB athletes, there's nothing we like more than the roar of the crowd.
Around here, we say we win as one.
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 And to keep cheering for the green and gold.
There's one thing we need from you.
Ask your doctor about an RSV vaccine.
And help protect everyone.
Our littlest Blazers and our most seasoned fans are most at risk from RSV.
Ask about your RSV vaccine today.
So we can all stay in the game.
And win as one.
It's time for the weekly update here on the Inferno. UAB softball, baseball, winding through their conference schedules for conference tournament play. Last weekend, not a great one as UAB. They had to go on the road to Denton, Texas, and take on a very good North Texas team that's right there at the top of the American softball standings. Good news is Blazers back this week at home. Got a homestand, begins on Friday as they take on East Carolina Friday at 5:30. They're at Mary Bowers Field Saturday at 1 o'clock, the first pitch, and then Sunday at noon. Meanwhile, baseball, they get 1 out of 3 from East Carolina last weekend. This weekend, they're going to be hosting Rice Friday at 5 o'clock, Saturday 2 o'clock, and Sunday first pitch scheduled for 1. Comprehensive information, schedules, start times, and so much more. As always, you can go to UABSports.com. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.